This is Osen Cocktail.
Hi, I'm Kirby Plessis. I have 20 years experience in intelligence analysis and OSINT, and I'm the founder of Plessis.net. You can find me online on Twitter as Curbster.
And I'm Cynthia Navarro, and I've been a private investigator since 1979 and went into using OSINT for my investigations in 1997. You can find me on Twitter at Finnegan's Way.
Welcome back to the Osen Cocktail Podcast. Today we have Ari Benam with us, and he's got a new tool out there called Telemetry. He'll tell you a little bit about that. But first, please, Ari, tell us about yourself. Where you come from? How did you get into this field?
Hey, thanks, Kirby. So I'm Ari from the States originally, born in Chicago, grew up in New Jersey, been based in Israel for the last 11 years. Tel Aviv, for those curious, lived in Jerusalem for a little while also, so I've been able to get around. I got into OSINT in my time in the compulsory military service here in Israel. The classic line, right? I didn't really know I was doing it at the time, et cetera. I was in what's called the Foreign Relations Unit Division of the military. So I'd have to do these very broad geopolitical reports and sometimes targeted stuff. First OSINT tool I ever used beyond Google and search engines was Wikimapia. Interesting enough, I came across it myself, right? Back then it was especially powerful. Now I think it's a bit less useful in certain contexts. But in the early 2010s, it was amazing. It blew my mind what you could find out there. And then I had some introductory research there. After college, I moved to a company called Cobwebs. I believe many listeners may be aware of them. Worked there for about over a year or so. Worked for a company then called ActDefense in their influence operations team, which I think, by the way, we'll discuss influence ops, I'm sure. And this is a fascinating team. It's a shame they don't publish, unfortunately. Maybe we'll edit that part out because, as I say, I don't want to shame them for not publishing, but they are a great team, pound for pound. Nothing but good things to say about that, the IO team. And then I founded Telemetry about a year and a half ago. And alongside that, founded my consultancy called Glowstick, which I do to provide research, training, consulting services internationally, both here in Israel, Europe, East Asia, occasionally the United States, and so on. I also have a blog called Mimetic Warfare Weekly, which is how some people reach me. So maybe we'll shamelessly plug that later on.
You can shamelessly promote anything you want. You are a guest. That's what you're here for.
in good taste only.
Of course. Okay, so your tool Telemetry, what is it? Why did you create it? And how did you see the opportunity to create it?
Well, Telegram has been a thing for quite a while now. I'm sure you've all seen its meteoric rise in the past 8-9 years or so, from kind of being this very niche messaging application, maybe 8-9 years ago, 10 years ago or so, to being this global phenomena that it is now. And it seems that from conflict to conflict globally, it only becomes more and more crucial. So it was a tool that I've had the chance to, I've worked with Telegram essentially, not since the beginning of my OSINT journey, but pretty early on. So the need was always there. And then unfortunately, a lot of the Russian tools that were previously used by myself and other analysts and investigators are now not available following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. You can't pay via Sberbank anymore, for better or for worse. And I personally am not interested in sending cryptocurrency to Russian companies and potentially violating any sanctions. So the need was apparent. There are some companies in the space that script Telegram for CTI and cyber purposes and some other purposes, but that's usually on a smaller scale. And I really want to create a tool that was relevant for the broader OSINT community and, of course, other end markets too.
Okay, so what are the capabilities of Telegram?
Well, Telegram is a fascinating application for a variety of reasons. I mean, most people are at this point aware of it, at least having heard of it, which was not the case 2-3 years ago. But it's a messaging application, but it has elements of, let's say, social networking. And I call it a bit of a combination of Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp or whatever, something along those lines, where in addition to your private discussions, private messages or so on, you have groups and channels. Channels being entities in which someone broadcasts messages outward. They can have hundreds of thousands, millions, or even tens of millions of subscribers. There is an upper limit somewhere, I believe, but it's quite high. And then groups, you can have a similar dynamic where you simply join a public group, begin chatting. Of course, there are private groups as well. And then groups can turn into super groups and mega groups of hundreds of thousands of millions of people potentially also, until they eventually turn into a channel based upon their size. Point being, there's a lot of stuff you can do on Telegram that is public, but not searchable. The search capability of Telegram is really, really limited. I'm sure people here, and I know this is audio, but everyone's nodding their head and saying in pain, saying, yes, I too suffer from the, I've been personally victimized by the lack of search capabilities on Telegram, which is why there's been a cottage industry kind of these companies that have created low-level search engines, not to be offensive or rude or anything. That's not the point of what I'm trying to say. They're not oriented towards OSINT, they're oriented towards marketing primarily in Russia, former Soviet states, and so on. So it's not really what we would need in terms of, and the capabilities thus aren't really suitable. So the inability to do searching on Telegram like you would on Twitter, Facebook, or any other social media platform makes the need for that obviously pretty apparent. Additionally, I just would add that Telegram is kind of the vanguard of this broader global change of social media, right? Where previously it was apps like Facebook and Twitter that we would use to communicate with each other. Whereas now internationally, messaging applications are fast overtaking these platforms, alongside short form video platforms also as well. But mobile, let's say, is overtaking these platforms at a really amazing rate. What started from the West and then spread to the rest of the world is now, we have the opposite dynamic kind of happening, where things are happening in the rest of the world, quote unquote, you can see my air quotes perhaps if you're watching the video, and now we're only in the West realizing, wow, we need to look into Telegram, we need to look into Viber, we need to look into Kakao, and so on.
I'd agree. I think that a lot of in the last few years, the complaint has been that they can't search Telegram well, but also that maybe 5 years ago, it was more considered to be more like WhatsApp, where there wasn't anything to search, but there really is a lot out there that is open if you know how to get to it, right?
Absolutely. And that's also an important dynamic to state. By the way, just as an aside before I continue, WhatsApp has last week added channels, if you're unaware. They're now getting into this broader public data space as well and adding that capability because it's so popular. This is interesting stuff. Things are changing in front of our eyes. Point that I'm saying is that all this data is public. There are private groups. Those are not covered by telemetry. We don't enter them. We don't do any of that sort of thing. We scrape only in accordance with the terms of service. We're not breaking any sort of privacy rules. If you had the link or you had the exact keyword or username of this channel or group, you too could access it and enter it and look up whatever you wanted. And that's the way that it's meant to be. Telegram kind of utilizes that as its own power. They're all about the freedom of the internet, extreme neutrality, agree or disagree for a variety of reasons. We can get into that perhaps later on if of interest. But that's their mantra. And I just would add also that as a unique dynamic, they're really good. It's a fascinating platform in terms of its technical capabilities for sharing mass media and multimedia. Right, we saw in the recent war, for example, the ongoing war, I should say, with Israel and Hamas, that as part of the Hamas offensive, they were able to share gigabytes of data across channels in ways that you couldn't really effectively do in other social media platforms, because Telegram supports in these channels and groups mass media hosting. I mean, I say mass in terms of massive size, right? Also mass media in terms of the amount of content you want to upload or so on, that other platforms don't support to the same degree. You can't easily send someone a 4 gigabyte video on Facebook, for example, but you can on Telegram.
Okay, so what kind of capabilities does telemetry have against Telegram now?
So I wouldn't say against per se. I don't want to, God forbid, get into the... No. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Again, we're fans. We don't want to... We believe in... Again, we agree. Obviously, there are serious issues with any form of social media platform that, are obvious, right? But I do, generally speaking, I'm sympathetic for the most part to Telegram's claims, especially because there's no algorithmic feed element. You really only see what you want to see or is sent to you directly by people that you know. And that's a claim they make, and I actually do agree with them on that one, that it does exempt them partially, at least, from some of the other onerous requirements of being a social media platform. What we do is we gather a large amount of data via our system. We'd rather not go in depth into necessarily how, but again, no vulnerability usage. It's all according in terms of service, and it's all public data. We want to be GDPR compliant. We want to be ethical. We're not interested in doing anything that you wouldn't expect of what you do in terms of public data. And we've gathered data from just under 1 million groups and channels, which is quite large, over 1.2 billion messages counting. Quite daily, we're looking to hopefully ramp that up soon as we eventually commercialize. We will start charging, but I'll get to that also in a second too, just to describe our goal here, because we don't want to be one of those platforms that's only enterprise, right? We want to have something available for the smaller team, the lone investigator, the lone private investigator, and so on. But yeah, we have essentially this massive database, and then in making that searchable with basic keywords, we support Boolean logic and operators, which is quite powerful for searching across Telegram data. And we also are getting, eventually we'll support regular expressions, and you can do some amazing stuff. Like if you go on telemetry and you put in BC1 asterisk, you look up crypto, you look up Bitcoin wallets, for example, and then you'll receive those as your results. So you can do a lot of really interesting things by utilizing the built-in Boolean logic and operators that we have. Additionally, we have channel and group analytics. So we provide analytics on these channels and groups. The most popular posts, the most viewed posts or forwarded or commented on posts, the number of subscribers, the creation date, basic categorization of the language. We make the about section searchable. We also allow exporting of data via CSV from searching or from channels or so on. And we'll soon have an API also available once that leaves beta, to make all this data really accessible to people at every level. That's kind of our vision, to make Telegram data accessible to anybody at the level that they need/can afford.
I love it. That sounds fantastic. Okay, so I have a kind of a parallel to ask you about. So you're doing this with Telegram, super popular. There's another really popular, somewhat similar tool out there that is also hard to search. Can you guess what I'm going to ask you about?
Although either I'm thinking of Discord potentially, but there could be quite a few.
Discord.
So I'm a big video game player myself. I always have been. Grew up, I first started going on mobile. We'll discuss that, I guess, later on. But I played video games for a long time. And I vividly recall the first time I was at a company and someone in the company, this was an hosting company, asked, "Hey, has anybody here heard of Discord? We're getting requests from clients about this." And I was the only guy who raised his hand after having used it for video game purposes. Discord is a different animal for a variety of reasons. As you can imagine, regulatory and privacy reasons are much different on Discord. It requires active scraping, getting in there with avatars and so on. There's no API to utilize, for example. We utilize the Telegram API, by the way. We're not, no hacking involved here, that sort of thing. So it's a bit of a different animal there. And then also, there are other issues. If you have Discord research is a nightmare in general. It's a great app, but researching is terrible. If you're on a server, and that server gets taken down because CSAM content, terrorism, what have you, your account is also burned, no matter what. So I've had maybe 30 Discord accounts burned over the course of my life, which is quite a few. So yeah, we're not planning.
Investigation accounts get whacked because the channel gets taken down.
Well, if you're investigating, usually you're going to be on the on the kind of servers that get.
You have to be, but you're in a bunch of other ones too, right? And so you lose them all at that point.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. I will tip my hat to whoever takes that upon themselves to hopefully solve that issue one day.
Okay. We'll move on from there. Besides telemetry, what are some of your favorite tools that you use day to day in your consulting?
I focus mainly on influence operations and some elements of CTI. My real passion is the overlap of the two in particular. But my whole approach is based upon a few things. I'm a big believer in the use of breach data. I don't know if that's something that's been discussed in all the episodes. I've listened to a few episodes. And by the way, truly honored to join the hallowed halls of people, of some of his guests that you've had on here. So for me, it's a big honor to be here in the first place. I've used many of their tools and I've heard about them in the past. So breach data is a big one in terms of tooling for breach data. There are the big ones everyone knows in IntelliX, Constella, SpyCloud, if you have a lot of money. I've heard nothing but great things about them. Some other ones that I'm a big fan of include District4, if you've heard of them. And then for lower priced usage for individuals like myself who can't afford much more expensive tools, Dhashed is still solid for the money that you pay for it, in my opinion. It's not expensive. And search 0T Rocks. I would highly recommend, again, it's a bit more on the black hat spectrum here, let's say. So, use obviously at your own risk. I'm not endorsing the malign use of breach data and so on. But for investigations, it's free and it's incredibly powerful. But highly recommend looking up search.0t.rocks. Again, only if it's legal in the context and jurisdiction that you happen to be situated in currently, but it's an excellent tool. So breach data is one of my favorites. Alongside that, I also am a big fan of utilizing marketing and SEO tools and things like that as part of investigations, especially in IO. Big fan of public WW for source code searching, for example. There are a few other ones. Gray Hat Warfare is great for searching in buckets. If you want to look in Azure blobs, at blobs, I believe they're called in Azure, DigitalOcean, whatever the term is for these, I always forget these things, S3 buckets and so on, big fan of that. And then in terms of marketing tools amongst the public WW, CrowdTangle is a great one that I'm a big fan of. I think it's underutilized by many in general investigations, by the way, not just for IO work, but for general investigations. Knowing where something is shared on Facebook and Instagram can be quite powerful in a variety of contexts. I guess I can keep naming more tools. OSINT Industries is doing some really interesting stuff, I think, in the email resolution, phone resolution space. I really like the added value things they have there with the timeline and the visualization of reviews and so on. There's a lot happening. I don't know if you agree with me. It's a great time to be in the space. People are developing fascinating tools. It's much better than it was, say, 5-10 years ago.
I think that one of the things we see in OSINT is the kind of rise and fall of tools. So something will get popular, there'll be a bunch of tools built against it, they'll shut their doors and those tools will die away, and then something else will come up. And so I think you're right, there's a bit of resurgence of some cool tools out there right now. So
that's because we're always changing, Yeah. And now with AI coming in and everything, we definitely are always having to progress ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's so nice to see so many of these be web hosted now and not have to deal with like CLI interfaces to have to utilize them. Just saying. So as an aside, I should say.
So we talked a little bit about some of the software tools you used. What kind of hardware do you like? Just for curiosity's sake.
So I do play a lot of video games. So I have a pretty solid desktop at home. If you want to get into the exact layout, I use a mini ITX computer. I have an NVIDIA 3080. Ryzen CPU that I forgot the name of currently. I'm currently joining you on an Asus ROG, like 40 inch, 144 hertz gaming monitor, because that's what I utilize. I use that for my general work. I have a burner laptop that I utilize for investigations. And then I also have several burner phones that I utilize. On the burner laptops I install, I have VMs, obviously. I use both locally hosted VMs, primarily via VMware. I've used a bunch of them past. I've used even some other ones. Like, obviously, they're the classics like Kali and Trace Labs and so on. Not my personal style. I've used Tsurugi once or twice. Again, for DFIR, it's great, but I don't really do that much DFIR relevant work. I do occasionally. My personal favorite, personally, if I'm locally hosting, is Linux. Ubuntu Linux specifically. And then I utilize IVPN, which you can get pre-installed in the store. So you really don't need to have any form of like knowledge of Linux and how to do this. You can utilize very UI-based Linux over here, install IVPN, which is up there with Mulvad and being, I think, one of the two or three best paid VPN providers. Then you buy, of course, the physical paper voucher one from them by sending them a check in the mail for like $100 for 2 years of whatever, cash and envelope, Mulvad and IVPN accept those. And then you're good to go for several years. That's what I do when I want to be crazy. When I want to be a normal person, I just use AWS or so on. The other tools that are out there are great. Qasm is great. Again, I just wish they had persistency. That's my main issue with these providers. I would use Authenticate. I would use Qasm. I would use all these tools. And for what they are, I think they're excellent. I'm not trying to say bad things about them at all. The opposite. I like them. Please add persistency for individuals. They don't have them. I'm sorry. Yes, please.
No, well, I just was going to say that the persistency is the reason I don't use them either, because you get your setup, your desktop, you know, your tools ready to go. And now you got to start and redo them every single.
Absolutely. I also use a lot of cellular data and mobile data. I'll just go through mobile SIMs for data when I can, instead of utilizing home Wi-Fi or that sort of thing, and just kind of get through it. I personally still, I think that at the end of the day, the chance of someone misconfiguring a VM on their device and then not having it tunnel properly or otherwise expose information is probably not worth the risk of doing it themselves. So it's worth it to outsource it. I also believe in outsourcing, I think, a lot of the stuff in general when you can for your general InfoSec needs.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I usually, for organizations, I do recommend they get something like Authenticate, because you can spread it across a lot of people who maybe aren't deeply trained and not have a major flub.
Absolutely. And as part of the trainings that I do, whether it's basic OSINT, I like to do more specialized training, but when I do basic or advanced OSINT, it's one of the just biggest pains to have to deal with this, because you have people who aren't familiar with it. They never set it up correctly, and it's not their fault. I'm not, you know, but it's nice to have for $10 a month. You can just have this reasonable solution that provides you the security and anonymity that you need. It's worth it.
All right. Well, we have a section we call Last Call, where everybody shares kind of a link or tool or a resource that we were really enjoying right now. So Ari, please tell me a link, something interesting that's catching your eye right now.
So they haven't posted in a while, but I would say that everybody should read the Intrusion Truth blog, for those of you who've heard of that. It's not, again, some people believe it's the CIA posting this data. All they do is they investigate and research Chinese APTs, for the most part, and publish data about them. And it's a fascinating, and I think it's not, in addition to being a fascinating topic in the first place, I think that they just do a really good job of explaining the OSINT thought process of how to go about doing this. They really, I mean, some of these investigations, they show you how, obviously, perhaps they have closed information, who knows, right? They do have contributors that send stuff to them for tips or so on, right? But they really can show you from A to Z in a step-by-step fashion how they carried out these investigations that exposed APT operators. And I think that's one of the more fascinating and unique applications of OSINT that you can find out there. And I recommend that everybody.
Cynthia.
Hi. Okay. So I know I've been quiet here. You didn't...
No, you're feeling a little under the weather.
Yeah. So actually, I had someone that's just starting within OSINT asking some questions, and I referred her over to, I was looking for some things, and over on GitHub, it's the github.com/JIVOI/awesome-OSINT. It's just a different resources that you can have for your intelligence. And for someone that's just starting out, it's a whole list of general searches, main national search engines, meta search. It just goes on and on for what they can do and what they can look for. And it really, you know, goes into social media tools. So I think it's a good place to check out. Just, you know, if you're in the beginning, you're not sure what you're doing.
All right. Sarah, our producer, do you have a resource that's catching your eye?
Okay, so today I've been playing with the Kagi Universal Summarizer. And what it does is you can use it to summarize books and articles and content on a URL. So if you just want to extract like the primary points, you can have it either in key moments or you can have it as a paragraph summary.
Cool. So you're really diving into Kagi, because I also know that you have a class tomorrow talking about page search. And isn't Kagi one of your topics?
It is. And it's interesting, Ari mentioned MolVed, because one of the other ones I'm going to be discussing is MolVed and the fact that you can use MolVed as essentially an air gap for Google's API.
So anybody interested in that, this by the time this podcast comes out, the class will already have happened. However, it'll be available on demand.
I'm joining. I'm excited.
All right. Oh,
I wish I could join. I should look into that sometime.
Okay. And my app for this week is GeoSpy. Have you guys seen the AI tool GeoSpy that's out there? It's creating some waves. It is so fun. It can only be as accurate as it can be, right? So we were using it in a class yesterday about geolocation, and, you know, manual geolocation was doing better than the tool, but it's a nice, interesting look at where things are going. Also, if you just have a picture and you have no idea, because the pictures we had an idea originally where they were, but if you have no idea, something like that's going to at least, you know, give you some hints to go to. I've used, you know, ChatGPT to analyze images to tell me where they were, and I think the GeoSpy does a little bit better. It does give you coordinates, aren't necessarily the exact coordinates, but maybe gets you in the region. Really cool tool.
I'll have to look at that.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say I couldn't agree more. It's fascinating. I'm looking forward to seeing the future versions.
I know, me too. Definitely. Okay. So Ari, do you have anything coming up, and how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I can be contacted via LinkedIn, telemetryapp.io. LinkedIn is probably the best, to be honest, as that's where I'm most active. Also, again, you can contact me via my glowstick email address, which is ari@glowstickintel.com, preferably LinkedIn. And I do have a training course in Singapore. I have a one-day IO seminar that I'll be doing on inference operations, including a special session on the ongoing war. So anybody in Singapore that wants to join that can reach out, and I'll be sure to put you in contact with the right people. And then I also have a basic introduction to OSINT course that I'll be doing there for 2 days after that. That'll be at the end of the month, the 27th to the 30th or so, or roughly of this month.
Okay, that's great.
All right, yeah. Cynthia, do you have anything to promote before we close?
I'm always promoting stuff, but I only promote Osmosis Institute, the Association for OSINT Professionals. But we do have our first, and talking about AI, we had Buddy Jericho from Indago Technologies. And that is great because he really explains things well. And he has some product that's out there that's going to help investigators and everyone else. So definitely go and check out on YouTube, I think it's up on LinkedIn. Folks were reposting some links that are up there. But AI is definitely, you know, the future for everyone. It's not going away. So you need to hop on.
All right. And the last thing I'm going to say is that I also have some classes coming up on academy.pluses.net. If anybody wants to check them out, we've got some full-size classes as well as short webinars. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Ari.
Yes, Ari. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcast app.
Also, please share so that we can continue sharing this podcast with you.